This is what we call in the business of pastoring a bridge week. One series over, we finished it last week. Then we got anniversary next week, and then when Ingrid and I are on vacation, Pastor Derek will capably start a new series. But this week kind of sits starkly alone in the middle of time. And that can be challenging sometimes when you are a pastor, because what do you want to do for this bridge week? Because the Bible, last time I checked, is a fairly big book, and I could pretty much go anywhere and pick anything, but I don't want to just treat it like a filler. Well, just get through this week. And the more I thought about it and prayed about it, and of course I've done this a few times before, I felt very specifically guided to what I want to talk to you about today. And if I could, I would put my notes away, and I would more prefer just to have a chat with you today about some things that I think the Lord wants us to know and wants you and I to remember. I think it's really critical. And that's the sense I had as this message developed. It was just a chat between he and I, and just kind of real time, moment to moment, and I think it's going to settle in many hearts in specific ways. So just open your heart even before we start to say, Jesus, I want to hear what you've got to say today, and I want to walk in obedience and just follow you, and I want to grow closer to you. All right. The reminder I got from the Lord as I began to construct this message was really through the word remember, to remember. And I felt the Lord wanted to remind us of a few things today, because sometimes in the complexity of life and all the challenges and the busyness even of going back to school, coming back from vacation, all those kinds of things, life gets pretty hectic. And I felt there was just a gentle urging direction of the Lord to say, psst, psst, don't forget this. Don't forget this. In the midst of all the stuff that's going on, don't forget this. And that's really what I want to share with you today. So let's have a look at our opening statement, and then we will go to This Is My Bible, and then we'll kind of go from there. As we wrap up our Unstuck series and move forward on our faith journeys, it's important to remember a few things, and those things will come up in a moment on the screen. Before we do that, of course, we will be relying on the Word of God to be the thing that reminds us, not just my experience, or here's some things I think are important. This is some things that the Bible says are important, which is more important than my opinion. And can I get an amen in the house, but not too heartily? Okay, excellent. Okay, let's make a declaration with our Bibles before we go to the source and we get some direction on what the Lord wants us to remind us of and remember this week. Let's say this together. This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who he says I am. I do what he says I can do. I have what he says I can have. I choose to open my heart to receive a word from God that changes my life forever. Amen and amen. All right. Remember, I said last week I would hold you accountable to the question I kind of asked as we left. How can I help you in your faith journey this week? And so we're going to kind of go back there again. And I really, really hope you have the opportunity, because this is going to become more and more important in the days to come for the church, that we are literally and actually engaged in other people's lives. Because as the days will advance, we will have weeks in which we will come to church and we will feel somewhat beaten up and bruised by world systems and the pressures that are around us. We are going to need our church family more than we've ever needed them before. I said a couple months ago that the era of the casual church attender, the casual Christian, is passing, if it's not already passed. This is critical that the church rise up and be the church and love and care, support one another in this journey that is difficult and in some cases becoming more difficult all the time. Remembering is a powerful thing. Ingrid and I are going to Europe in 2 weeks. We leave 2 weeks today, and we're gone for 4 Sundays. The end of that trip, we have 6 days scheduled with probably our closest relatives outside of our immediate family and those who live right here in Norway. And we're going to sit with Tuva Marie and Cora. I married them 25 years ago, I think, or thereabouts, in Stanley Park, and they've remained just close, precious friends as in addition to family. But we're going to sit with them on their deck overlooking the North Sea and just talk and eat together and just enjoy each other's company. I suspect that there's one family member who plays what is called, I believe, a hardanger fiddle, which is like peculiar to Norway. And she's like one of the top three hardanger fiddle players in the entire world. And she comes when we're there and did 7 years ago. And now we're going to do it again. And we're going to hear and be serenaded by the hardanger fiddle sitting on the deck, overlooking the North Sea and feeling incredibly Viking-like. It's going to be a remark. Peter, you tracking with me here? Yeah, absolutely. I remember when we were there 7 years ago, I thought to myself, other than my own family and my own home, I feel more at home here than I've ever felt anywhere in my life, which was strange to me because this is Ingrid's side of the family. And I just felt so at home and so at peace, like I had discovered something about myself. It was a remarkable thing. We did subsequently do one of those ancestry DNA things, and I was, and maybe this is part of the reason, I was super surprised to discover that 29% of my heritage, 15% Swedish, 14% Norwegian, is Scandinavian. 29%. So I am more Viking-like than I had imagined initially. So yeah, we had no idea. I had no idea that was the case. That was pretty cool. So remembering, very, very important. Remembering. You know, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the very first time that God identifies man, the verse says, the first time mankind is referenced is, and God formed man. Genesis 2, chapter 2, verse 7. That word, man, in that case, man, mankind, has several renderings, but the one that I like to hang my hat on, especially to make this particular point, is the Hebrew word zakar, Z-A-K-A-R, man or mankind. God formed man, zakar. And the one of the renderings of that word, which I think is just amazing, remembering this is the first time that God references people, and he calls them the remembering ones. That's one of the translations of the word, the Hebrew word zakar, remembering ones. So the very first time mankind is referenced, they're referred to as the remembering ones, which tells us a couple things, two considerations. One of those considerations is that we have been given something extremely important to remember. Extremely important to remember. God called us in his infinite knowledge, remembering ones, because there's something to not forget. We're going to talk about that today, what that might be. Some of you already know. Something to remember, and then I think it's a nod to our humanness where he says, because you're remembering ones, that also indicates that you have a propensity to forget. As human beings, we have a propensity to quickly forget, especially the goodness of God in difficult times. When stress and trial and disappointment comes, how quick it is to go and become angry with God or suspicious of God. Or questioning, why would this happen to me? When the first and most important thing we should be remembering is God himself and who he is and how that puts me in such good stead to ride out whatever it is that we're going to have to ride out with whatever life brings. Now, there are many passages I could have chosen here with the word remember in them or similar sentiments. Don't forget. Be certain of, but they all kind of flow through a similar kind of thought of remember this. I'm going to walk you very briefly through four scriptural things that the Bible tells us we are to remember. And I just, again, want you to open your heart as I'm doing the same, asking the Lord, is there something here today that I may have temporarily or momentarily forgotten in the stress of life that you want to remind me of so that I leave here stronger, more enriched, and more equipped to engage my life moving forward. So remember this. Jesus was raised from the dead. 2 Timothy 2:8, let's have a look at that scripture. Always remember that Jesus Christ, the descendant of King David, was raised from the dead. And this is the good news I preached. Never forget, Jesus was raised from the dead. Now, that may seem like a bit of a stretch to take that reality, that truth statement, never forget, Jesus was raised from the dead, and make practical application to your life and what you're going through right now. Let me give you a little bit of a working example to show you how these things connect, all right? So, never forget, Jesus has been raised from the dead by God. So, let's take an example. Let's say something difficult happens to you this week or is in the process of happening, or you arrived here heavily burdened by something. It could be that something changed in your job. You're unsecure of your, just not sure of where your future is going. Maybe there was a layoff. There might be an illness in you or your family. An accident has happened. Something's going on with your kids. An alarming news report came to your attention. Something's happened that has you very unsettled and frightened or whatever it might be. Something's happened. So how do we make the connection? Because remember, we have a propensity to forget. Never forget, God raised Jesus from the dead. I just lost my job, for example. Let's say that. How do we make the connection? Don't they seem miles apart? In God's eyes, they're not, and here's why. We're going to look at a couple more scriptures to kind of link these through together. So if you can imagine, here's the crisis, whatever it is, and here's the truth that God has raised Jesus from the dead. So 2 Timothy 2:8, we just read it. Very important. Never forget this. Never forget. Doesn't matter what's going on. In the heat of the moment, do not forget Jesus is alive. God raised him from the dead. If you have a Bible handy, turn it in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. This won't come up on the screen, but I'll walk you through it. Ephesians chapter 1, 19 and 20. Okay, we're going to take a step. Here's the problem. Here's the reality that God has raised Jesus from the dead. We're going to move this substantially this way to solve and work on this problem over here. Ephesians 1, 19 and 20 says this. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power. We sang about it today. Pastor Corey talked about it. The incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him, for you. Anyone here who believes in Jesus, don't forget this. The incredible power of God that raised Jesus from the dead. By the way, it goes on to say this power, that power is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor, God's right hand in the heavenly realms. That's our first step. Here's the problem. Here's the reality. God raised Jesus from the dead. How do I connect the two? So it's living moment to moment, breath to breath in my life. You do that by remembering that same God that we just sang about is the one that raised Jesus from the dead, and that his mighty power is given to us believers through Jesus. We just took it from here conceptually into here in practicality and reality. We're getting closer, okay? You got your Bible handy. Now turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Let's take it one step further. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead, and here is the kicker of all kickers, lives in you. No longer is this some ethereal concept out here. Ultra spirituality for just a few people who would ever get this. People who are in the desert and hibernate and go away for years and years to find themselves. This is for you and I. Are you a believer? If you're a believer, this is your present reality. I've got a really big challenge over here. Never forget, God raised Jesus from the dead, and that same power is the same power available to you. Not only is it available to you, it's in you. And then we see the coming together of a believer who is walking, yes, with trial in their life on occasion, but with a growing understanding that the risen Christ and the power that raised him from the dead dwells in me, and the word says, and quickens my mortal body. I am empowered by the truth of the word of God that says Christ, the resurrected Christ, and his power dwells in me. Never forget. Never forget. Never forget. God raised Jesus from the dead. Let's give him a praise offering. God raised Jesus from the dead. Yes. Yes. And that changes everything. Never forget it. Even when things are going sideways in the middle, pause. thank you, Lord, that you, God, that you raised Jesus from the dead and he lives in me. That same power is now available, accessible to me to navigate this momentary or extended challenge I'm in right now. Secondly, never forget, remember that God will never remember your sins. God will never remember your sins. Hebrews 10, 14 to 18. Let's bring that passage up. For by that one offering, Jesus' offering, he forever made perfect those who are being holy. That's a sermon in itself. And the Holy Spirit also testifies this is so. For he says, this is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds. I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds. I will never again remember their sins. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. Because the human tendency is we have really good memories about our mistakes. I won't ask you to raise a hand, but I would be the front of the line raising my hand. If you are here today and you have a nasty habit of going back and dredging up your mistakes and beating yourself up for it. That's one of my greatest challenges in life, is not doing that. And we have unequivocal information here from the Lord. Truth, he will never remember your sin again. When you are saved and he's forgiven you, he's not going to bring up your sin again. That's not to say you don't have consequences, but even that is altered. For the sins of our past, even the consequences, when submitted to God, he attends them. They are subject to his healing. He mitigates their damage somehow. God is so good at that. The only one who can. Even our past mistakes, he tenderly takes and begin to shape and make things for his good. Romans 8, 28 tells us that. By the way, one of the most misquoted scriptures in all of the Bible. The NLT says it this way, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. God's not going to remember your sins. So the question begs, why am I so determined to remember them myself? Why do I do that? Never forget, my dear friends, don't forget. God has forgotten your sin. He will not remember that which you bring to him that Jesus covers by his blood. You're good to go. You're good to go. Amen? Astonishing. Number three, remember that. Number three, remember that Jesus will always be with us. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Jesus came and told his disciples, this of course is the Great Commission, the last words he speaks before he goes to heaven. I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you and be sure of this, i.e. remember, i.e. don't forget this. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Always with you. That in my Bible, for those who have taken the little evening I teach about coloring Bible, that is in light green. That's a promise of God. That's a promise from Jesus right to me. No matter how alone or challenged or lonely or fearful I may feel at a given point in my life, he told me he would never leave me. I am not alone. And in moments when I feel alone, I will simply not go there. Because I'm not alone. I am friend with God through Jesus, and he promised he would never go. Always be with you. You're never alone, no matter what circumstance, no matter what time in history, no matter how severe the difficulty is, he says, I will not leave you. And then he almost puts in what is a throwaway, but may be as important as the first part. He says, and don't miss this, I will be with you even to the end of the age. What age is he speaking about there? Why did he throw that in there? I believe he threw that in there for times like 2023 and moving forward, in which this is becoming extremely important to understand. The end of the age simply refers to the time when in God's perfection, his plan unfolds exactly as he said it always would, and Jesus returns to claim his own, the dead and the alive, those who believe in him. The day of the Lord is fast approaching. And I don't say that as an alarmist. You know me. Anyone who's been in this church for any length of time, I'm not an alarmist in the slightest use of the word. However, this ultimately speaks of Jesus' return. He is coming back, you know. He is coming back. Thinking about this, I'm going to throw this out to you. I've never done this before because I'm not an eschatologist and I don't study deeply end times theology and stuff. Some do, and that's great. I don't. I feel in my heart that come the new year, I want to do a series on the two books of Thessalonians. There's much that Jesus references about his return. And I want to spend some time with our beloved church talking about what to watch for, how to prepare oneself. I think that's on my heart to do. It's a little ways out. I'll think about it on the deck in Norway as I look at the North Sea. And if I change my mind, I'll let you know. But right now, the plan for January is I want to teach from 1st and 2nd Thessalonians with you together. So remember this, Jesus is always with you. Jesus is always with you. Don't forget. Don't forget. Last one, and we'll be done with this today. Remember this, the priceless sacrificial gift that Jesus gave. Let's look up the scripture in 1 Corinthians, and we'll read that together. This is traditionally read with the serving and partaking in the Lord's Supper or the Lord's table or communion, which we're about to do. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and he gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance." Remember this. Remember this. Remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This is the cup, my new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again." The priceless gift of, don't forget, don't forget. Don't, you don't have to, again, raise hands here, but I wonder, does anyone here take and receive communion at home by yourself as a course of your daily devotions? Or do you just wait until we come to church and we do it together? And this is a wonderful, beautiful thing. And this is kind of where the pattern came from. So that's wonderful. I want to encourage you, if you've never even thought about that, if it even seems like, what? Think about that. Over the next little while, receive communion at home by yourself, you and Jesus. Because all you're doing is remembering. All you're doing is strengthening the relationship. All you're doing is announcing your readiness for his return. That might be something that someone here would like to consider on your own time in your own devotional life, that you would do that. This is a powerful act of remembering him. Powerful thing. And we're going to do that now. And so begin to get your elements ready. And we're going to do that together. And what we're going to do as we do this, we're just going to allow his presence, his goodness, the truth of the word to wash over us, to embrace us, to cover us, to cleanse us, to fill us again. Any empty places we have, any bruised places we have, anything that needs patching up by him, soothing by him, caring for by him. So remember, don't forget, don't forget, don't forget, don't forget this. Be certain of this, that when you do this, you eat this little cracker or piece of bread, you eat this and we're remembering Jesus, his broken body on the cross, the beating he took. You know, the Bible says they pulled his beard out as he walked to the cross. They spat in his face, thrust a crown of thorns on his head. Remember, remember. remember the love that was present in all of that for you, for me, for the world. And so we do this and we remember until he comes again. Church, let's eat together in remembrance. And then the cup, representative of his blood. Were you ever puzzled when you read somewhere in the Old Testament about they sacrificed this animal and then they had to do this one and they had to do a goat and a lamb and a bull and on it went and a pigeon and just endless sacrifice? Do you know why we don't have to do that anymore? It's because one offering for all time, the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary for the world out of love, this replaces all of that sacrifice once and for all. And we're invited to remember the covering of this blood for my sin. That's the reason we're able to say God doesn't remember it anymore, because Jesus took it away. And that's what we remember when we do this. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's drink together. Lord, I pray for your children, and I'm included in this prayer. I pray that your grace, your matchless, immeasurable, undeserved grace, would wash over every life and every circumstance. Lord, I pray that you would make that divine connection from an idea that God raised Jesus from the dead, but how does that affect me? That you would move those things together in a beautiful coming together of your resurrection affecting me moment to moment. Lord, help us to remember. Lord, we're forgetful people. Help us to remember that you've forgotten our sins. And in moments when I'm tempted to beat myself up, to run to you and your divine forgetfulness. Help me to remember in moments that I feel alone. Any one of us feels alone or alone, lonely, persecuted, treated poorly. You'll always be here. You will never leave us alone. Thank you that we could have this chat today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.